Hello, hello, beautiful. It's your girl Jackie O with Pink Unashamed, here to talk about body counts and friends with benefits. So I know we were talking about the BDSM thing, and I said it was going to be a multi-episode topic. I personally needed a break from the BDSM conversation, so Mo was a lot. Mo is a lot just in himself. Like, he is actively texting me as I speak. Mo is just a lot. So I need just a break from talking about the shit, honestly, because it's a lot. It just is. I'm not even going to try and dress it up. It's a lot, and I apologize if I grossed anybody out or threw anybody off. Please don't be deterred. That's the grossest it will ever get with me. Yeah, Mo. I can't even. And someone asked me the question, do I regret my interactions with Mo? And my gut wants to say, hell yeah, I regret that shit, because it was gross and I'm disgusted by some of the shit that I did and I was a part of. But the other part of me that's like, had I not met Mo, I wouldn't have met other people and learned what I've learned about the lifestyle, and I've learned to appreciate it. And yeah, I would have never met some of the people that I've come to really enjoy and people who have really taught me a lot. So that's why I'm torn. Like, I'm grossed out by a lot of it, but at the same time, I wouldn't have invested the time in learning about it had I not met him. So I don't know, bitch. I don't fucking know. So yeah, yes and no. Yes, I regret it. No, I don't. It depends. I don't know. I just can't. So the break, we're going to talk about body counts. I think it's something that like a lot of people, I guess a lot of people don't really talk about it so much. Like, I don't talk about it frequently. Friends of mine, we don't talk about it like it's a thing. But I know that it is like that underlying discussion that most couples won't have, because there's a fear of how the other person is going to feel about what your number is. So I know I've been in that situation before, and I've been in a situation where the person I was dating had a very low body count, like under 10, and my number is not 10. it's nowhere near 10. So it was just, I mean, he wasn't like completely thrown off and it didn't end our relationship, but there was a shift. Like, I don't know. There was definitely a shift in the kind of the perception of me. I felt the perception of me changed a little bit as it pertained to the bedroom and sex and expectations of what I would do and could do based on, you know, the number. And, you know, I don't know. It's weird, because I'm just going to be frank with it. When you're dealing with someone who has a very low, you know, body count, they've only had sex with a handful of people, they're not really exposed to a lot of the kinky shit. Like, because not every girl is into anal and oral and all this other stuff. So, you know, when they meet a girl, in my experience, when this person met me, I think that it was like, wait. So she has this number, so that means she's fucked this many dicks. That means she knows how to please this many dicks. So that means that she's willing to do the kinky shit I've seen in porn. Like, I don't know how that connection is made, where it's like, you have over 10, you are the equivalent of a porn star. And it's like, oh, okay, so automatically I can do the shit that the girl in the porn does. Oh, okay, and I'm willing to do that stuff. Okay, so it was a shift. Was it a bad shift? But it was a shift. So I'm sorry if that was way off base, but in my personal experience, having the dialogue about the body count, it kind of changed the perceptions, in my personal opinion. So I think that a lot of people just avoid the conversation, but underneath the surface, everyone has a strong opinion about it. And I think that from the female perspective, one of my concerns has always been, you know, the higher my body count gets, potentially, the looser my pussy gets. Like, that's my fear as a as a woman. That is my biggest concern as it pertains to, you know, bringing on new dicks or having except words. I'm telling you, I have to stop doing this drunk, but I don't know if y'all would like me sober. I don't know if I'm as, you know, witty when I'm sober. So Jesus, what was I talking about? Body counts. I am legit. See, I really have to stop drinking as much. And I'm drinking like the cheap shit tonight. I'm drinking, it's like Capicola, Capriccio, Sangria. You know, the shit you probably saw it on Facebook is like 13.9% alcohol content. Like, It's so good, but it's so bad. I call it devil juice. So I completely lost my train of thought thanks to the devil juice. And yeah, so one of my biggest concerns has always been loose pussy. It has been. So it's like, I don't want to have a whole bunch of partners because then I'm gonna have the loose pussy, and you know, the guys talk about it and this little smarty shit. They say this bitch ain't got no walls and all this kind of crazy stuff. Growing up, I'm hearing this. So I'm like, I don't want to be that girl that has loose pussy and no walls. So it's like, I don't really want to, you know, start smashing. I don't want to be the hoe. I don't want to be that the thought in the neighborhood that's smashing everybody. And you know, you get deemed a loose pussy girl just based on the fact that you've had sex with more than one person, you know, in my personal experience. So my concern has always been loose pussy, and a lot of females and friends of mine, that's kind of just like a underlying concern you have about, you know, going crazy and letting trains be run on you, or, you know, thinking about the prostitute and how, oh my God, her pussy must be wider than all outside and all this crazy stuff. So, I mean, the loose pussy thing, I think that has been a fear for a lot of people for a long time. And a lot of people probably wouldn't be honest about that, but I am, bitch, I am. But I'm also the girl who's fucked three dudes in one day and none of them could tell the difference. So, I mean, I'm not really too worried about it, but at the same time, it's a concern. Underlying somewhere, there's a concern there. But I have also learned that in having sex with three guys in one day, trust me, it was safe and all that, protected, all that good stuff. But it happened, and I actually went from largest to smallest. Like, I had sex with, and I'm about to be honest, I had sex with baby arm that morning, no lie. Then I had sex with the longtime friend with benefits person, who I call SP. Had sex with him like in the afternoonish, and then later on that night I had sex with the old man, Mr. Uncircumcised Average Dick. Literally from the biggest dick in life to the small one of the smallest. And he had no fucking clue. He had a good goddamn time and got him a wonderful goddamn nut. So I'm like, it really doesn't fucking have an impact. That's what I'm thinking to myself. And then I'm like, well, maybe it's because of swelling and like trying to, girl, listen. In real life, this is the shit that I'm thinking about. Like, okay, well, maybe it's because it was kind of swollen, so maybe that's why he didn't notice. And you kind of talk yourself into, does it feel looser and he's not saying anything, or does it feel fine? Like, this is the conversation you're having in your head. At least I had in my head. I don't know. I don't know if other bitches worry about that shit, but I do. But I love sex, so I don't know if other women have as much sex as I do, but I enjoy having sex, so I'm always worried about how far is too far as it pertains to the looseness of the vagina. So science says, bitch, it really don't matter. It doesn't have an impact. The bottom line is, no matter how many dicks you have and how frequently you have them, it's not going to drastically stretch out your vagina. The biggest thing is that just like penises, women have different size vaginas. So, which I had never thought about, but I'm like, duh, it makes perfect fucking sense. You know, just like men's penises vary, women's vaginas would vary. I just had never thought about it. So it's like, that makes perfect goddamn sense as to why, you know, one woman could feel one way to a man, a different way to another man, and, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, long story short, it really doesn't have an impact. You could have as many dicks as you want a day, and it's going to return back to its size, you know, the next day or over time. It is. So, and in my personal experience from having a lot of sex, a lot of rough sex, you know, even just with one person all day, like you're having an all day fucking marathon. I know I'm not the only one. And like, I've had all day fucking marathons with baby on, and at the end of the fucking day, my vagina is swollen to the point where it doesn't want to take anything inside of it. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that shit, but it's a real thing. So, yeah, having three different dicks that, you know, in varying sizes, of course, again, like I said, safe, protection, all that in play here, is probably better than getting fucked by baby arm for, you know, damn near 6 hours straight. So, just saying, it's all about the, it is, I mean, it really is a muscle, right? Like, the vagina is a muscle. I'm not doing this, the fucking Googles. If it's not a muscle, then sorry, not sorry. But I know that it's going to return back to its normal state. It's going to snatch back. But one of the factors, of course, is age. You know, the older you get, and just like any part of the body, it's going to lose its elasticity. So, you know, an older woman's vagina will feel a lot looser and, you know, not so grippy or whatever as a young vagina. But one of the things that they recommend, of course, are Kegels and Benoit balls. And I'm actually, as I record, bitch, I am wearing, I guess, is wearing the right word there, a pair of weighted Benoit Kegel exercise balls. And it is quite an experience. It's very nice. It's like a little, I don't even want to call it a tickle, because it's like a nice little internal massage. Oh, bitch, that was, yeah, fake deep as fuck. But yeah, it's a nice little, I love it, bitch. I'm here for it. I'm like shifting in my seat. I'm over here two-stepping on the, in my seat, like twirling and twerking in the seat, like unnecessary ass hip movements. You see it? Yes. I'm having a good goddamn time. So I'm really thinking that I'm going to do a giveaway of these Kegel exercise balls, because I think that they are nice. This is my first time wearing them. I haven't done a lot of moving around in them. I think that's probably when it's going to get a little tricky. But just sitting, like you would be doing most of the day, like at work or whatever, or after you get home for the night, you're sitting watching TV like this. Like, girl, this feel good, honey. I'm like, yes, bitch, I'm having a low-key party right now. Just bopping for no reason. Yes. So I'm thinking these will probably be the first giveaway, because I'm enjoying them. And they kind of tie to the topic. So, yeah, that's the long and short of the science and my personal feelings on the looseness of the pussy. So, for me, a nice segue in that conversation is friends with benefits. I kind of touched on the fact that in meeting Mo, I met a few other gentlemen that turned into, I guess, kind of side lovers. One of them being Sean, who was the camera guy who got his dick sucked by Mo. Yeah. He turned into, like, I still see him. Like, I saw him not even a month ago. I still see him on the regular. That curve, I'm telling you, that curve is impeccable. And I mean, I am who I am, so he just keeps coming back, and I'm here for the curve, bitch. I'm here for the fucking curve. But the one thing about Sean, and I don't think I mentioned it in the last episode, in our relationship turning into like a friends with benefits thing, we're seeing each other on a regular basis, and he's learning how good I am in bed. Like every time it was like a baby step of, you know, okay, we're just gonna increase the shit just to see, you know, if he's into some of the kinkier stuff that I'm into, and just kind of one-upping it. And he will forever go down in history as the man, the first man, the only man that I've ever seen or heard of having a complete orgasm with a flaccid dick. And when I say flaccid, like, I literally had gotten to the point, I don't even know if I had gotten him fully in my mouth. He came so quick. Like, I literally had my hand holding him up, and I had like just put my lips around it good, and I maybe bobbed for like a half a second, and he started fucking coming. And I'm like, bitch, I know you're lying. I know you're fucking lying to me. Like, this was 30 seconds. Like, how? I like literally was Googling the shit the minute he left the house. Like, I know that did not just happen. And he was so embarrassed. And I was like, it's cool, boo. Like, my job was done in like 30 seconds instead of 15 minutes. So I'm good. Like, it's cool. So I'm like texting my homegirl like, bitch, did you know this could happen? And she was like, girl, it's not that serious. It happens. And I'm like, it ain't, that shit don't happen to me. That don't happen to me. And she was like, he was excited. He was overly excited to see you. He was looking forward to what you're about to lay down. And he just like, he jumped the line. And I'm like, jumped the line. Fuck you very much. Crazy. So he will forever hold a special place in my heart for that. Because I was like, look at that. I'm so excited. He came before I even like did anything. That's awesome. It was weird, but it was awesome. And then Richmond, who I'm also actively messaging. I ain't shit. I haven't seen him in quite a while, and I'm kind of itching for what he offers to my friends with benefits kind of catalog situation. He is just such a true dominant. He has full control over every scene, every movement. He's so serious. I hate how quiet he is. Like, he's so stealth-like in the bedroom. And he's so good. His dick isn't, you know, super fat, but it is long. Like, he has a lot of length, but it's not super, you know, girthy. But he can fuck. Like, that skinny white man can fuck. And it's amazing. And I love that he comes in there with his fucking suit on. And then, like, he takes his time taking his suit off and his belt off and his shoes off. The whole time I'm sitting there on my fucking knees, you know, bound with, you know, blindfold. And I'm just, you know, hearing the clanking of his belt and the pants unzipping and them dropping to the floor. And I'm laying him over the chair and just the fucking itch of like, hurry up and bring me some. Like, give it to me, please. And he's taking his fucking time. Oh, and the fucking sex is amazing. Like, oh my God. To look at him, he's like Mr. Rogers. I swear to God. Not like the old version, but like the 40-year-old version of Mr. Rogers with, you know, salt and pepper hair and, you know, a nice suit, thin, kind of a little bit of a tan, like, you know, just an, it's, I don't want to call him a nerd, but kind not, he's really not a nerd, because I don't know, anyway, but he's just, if I walked past him in an office setting, I would not guess that he was laying the dick down the way that he lays the dick down. So that's what I was getting to. He's kind of an average looking guy that you would see in your office. And he is fucking incredible in bed. Like, I would never have guessed. Yeah. Like, I'm growing weary. Like, I need to see him soon. Because he is everything. He is everything. He is the bondage. He is the punishments. He is the fucking good big dick. Long stroking, climb up the walls good in bed. Yeah, I love, I don't love Richmond, but I really enjoy the interactions with him. They're kind of addicting. They really are. Any dick that you would get on a plane to go and visit is pretty damn good. Just saying. So yeah, those are the best parts of the Mo situation. That I gained those two friendships that kind of keep me afloat. So, I've kind of teeter-tottered. How long have I been talking? 18 minutes. Oh, we got time, bitch. Let me get some wine. Hold on, honey. We got time. This shouldn't take too long. I'm going to do my best. So, Mr. SP... Mr. 14-year friend with benefits. Met in high school. Well, no, we had met before high school, but we were really good friends. And in high school, we kind of became better friends. And we were kind of in a circle of friends, so to speak. Like, I was cool with, you know, homeboys of his. And his homeboy was, like, you know, friendly with one of my homegirls. And, you know, it was just like we were cool. And then... because I was in a relationship with somebody completely outside of that circle of friends. And that situation kind of, you know, ended itself. And out of the blue, one night, me and the homie, he's like, I think he gave me a ride home. That's the thing. We were leaving a situation. He's like, oh, you can ride with me. And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Because he's the homie. And the homie turned into the lover in like 2.5 seconds of me getting in that truck. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this is what we doing? Because he's like, slide over to the middle. And I'm like, okay. And then hand goes on my thigh. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because he's fine as fuck. Like, pause for SP, please. SP so motherfucking fine, bitch. SP is like Abercrombie, motherfucking Hollister. Blonde hair, blue eyed, 6 foot something, just fine, bitch. Fine as fuck. And he got a good dick. Like, he like a good eight and a little bit of change, and is fat, and he can fuck. SP is life. Even today, right now, because he's also, I've been actively texting his ass. He sent me a dick pic today that had me clutching my pearls. I was just like, my God. All that dick on all that man. And it's so good. Jeez. That dick I haven't had in a while. Yeah. So, he gives me the ride home. He pulls into this wooded area. We end up having sex. Some of the craziest sex of my life. Because at that point, I'd only had one other lover. I mean, bent up like a pretzel. Bitch, bent up like a chicken weighing in the grease. I'm bent up. Feet on the roof of the goddamn truck. Pounded. Like, this man, this boy. Shit, we were like 16, 17. Pounded into me. Jesus. Like, high schoolers should not be having that kind of sex, bitch. I was like, really? This is the shit I see in fucking porn. And I'm getting dicked down like that? Like, this is amazing. Whew. So, that turned into a lot more of those encounters of after school and late nights and after the football game, after the basketball game, and just all kind of hookups throughout high school. And once we got out of high school, very similar Friday nights, Saturday nights, you know, we were both working individuals. So, you know, oh, when you get off work, meet me here. The most random of fucking places you could ever imagine, like literally on the side of a fucking highway, in an abandoned, you know, building parking lot. Inside abandoned building. Like, we would go into the craziest fucking places, parks, daytime, nighttime. Oh God. A parking garage at the fucking mall in the middle of the goddamn day at like, oh, it was like noon in the biggest mall in the area. In the fucking parking garage. And I did it, bitch. I got in the backseat of that fucking truck. And I got my whole entire life. Got digged down. Security guard riding by. And I'm still getting digged down. Bitch. That man can get it. He can get it on site. Any fucking where. Just understand that. Because he's that goddamn fine. He got bomb ass dick. Like, oh, it's so nice. It's veiny. It's fat. It's such that man right there. Listen, he got too much. He got a little carried away. He got a little foolish when he was making that man. But yeah, see, I get lost because I start thinking like, oh Lord Jesus, can I just, and these poor little Kegel balls, Lord have mercy, honey. Jesus, they catching hell right now. They are catching hell. But the thing about SP was that it was very clear that he knew most of the things that he knew about sex from porn. And I learned very quickly that he had, you know, things that he was into that I had never even heard of. He was very into cross-dressing. Not specifically himself cross-dressing, but into, you know, transsexuals, and not, I hope this isn't disrespectful, but to use his exact words, chicks with dicks was the thing that he was really into. And this was, again, high school, 16, 17, you know, he's exposing me to these things. And I'm like, this is all new to me. Like, what? Wait a minute. Like, I didn't know that, you know, that was a thing that guys had, like, it was a secret kink that they were like, I'm like, what? Okay. For me, it's all new to me. And I'm just like, okay, if that makes you happy, do what makes you happy. You know, as long as we're all consenting and everybody's having a good time, I'm like, okay. So I think that for him, it was refreshing to have someone who didn't judge him. And I'm just like, okay, shit, if that's what you into. I mean, shit, if I saw a beautiful woman who happened to have a penis, I would fuck the woman. I'm sorry. I would. And I'm not sorry. Fuck that. I'm not sorry. Beautiful, and you happen to have a dick, and
you just happen to arouse me in other ways for me to even get to the point of wanting to have sex with you. Then I find out that you don't have the, what I expected you to have in your pants. I have no issue. I have no fucking issue. I know what to do with a pussy and I know what to do with the dick. I'm good. Either way, I'm good. As long as it's clean and disease free and everybody is consenting and we're all about having a good goddamn time, I'm good with whatever's in your pants. So I said a lot then, but I just want to make it clear. I have no issue. And I respect anyone who is open about not having an issue and having an attraction to something outside of the norm, so to speak. So that's where our relationship kind of evolved. And it truly is a friendship. We are still friends. We still discuss things today. But, you know, for him to be able to tell me these things and for me to not judge him and be like, okay, shit, that's, I'm good with that. And then, you know, we're looking at pictures and he's sharing porn and pictures with me. And I'm like, shit, okay, that's actually kind of sexy to me too. And we grew up with each other, so to speak. And don't get me wrong, there were some things that he's into that aren't so pretty. So this is going to be that moment where I say, if you're not into gross things, nasty things, this is time for you to exit stage left. But very quickly, Mr. SP has a bit of a, damn, I don't know if I should say this. Fuck it, I'm going to say it. Fuck it, we're being unfiltered, we're being transparent, we're being real. SP has a thing for poop. And when I say he has a thing for poop, like, he's just infatuated with the idea of, like, getting a blowjob while he's taking a deuce. And I'm like, the fuck? That I've never done. I can't even fathom. Like, I would puke everywhere. And one of the things that he threw out, and this was, I mean, we're like, we were like fresh out of high school. We weren't still in high school at this point. We were outside of high school, but he was really into the idea, and it came out of nowhere, and it threw me of, and I apologize again, disclaimer, if you're not into gross shit, exit. He wanted me to poop on his dick. No, sorry, not sorry. That's the long and short of it. That was what he wanted. And this went on for months and months and months of him, like, bringing it up and trying to convince me. And I'm like, fuck that. So, goddamn, one night I fucked up. And I ate something wrong and my stomach was a little queasy and fucked up. So I should have stayed my ass home. I shouldn't have gone to have sex that night knowing that my stomach was uneasy. I'm sorry. Oh, that's so gross. Excuse me. And knowing that he was kind of into the anal shit, because we were still in the phase of trying to figure the anal thing out. And everything in my gut said, bitch, go home, bitch, cancel. But I'm like, fuck it, I'm about to go get this dick. Fuck that shit. And it turned into a not so pretty scene. I was grossed out. He was fucking elated. He was so happy, bitch. He was like, even now to this day, he still talks about that shit. And I cringe and I'm disgusted with myself because I should have stayed my ass home. But it turned into like the best sex night of his life. He brings it up all the time and I'm like, can you not? Because that's the fucking disgusting. It was an accident and it's never happening again. Like, ugh, it's fucking gross. So yeah, I am giving a whole lot to this podcast. Like, I'm telling y'all my deepest, darkest secrets. The shit I was going to take to my fucking grave. But I'm being honest. Ugh, I'm being honest. Damn, I'm being honest. Honey, this little Capicola wine, bitch. That's a true serum. That bitch got me telling all my business tonight. Lord. So outside of the poopy thing and being into transsexuals and things like that, he has some other kinks, and I don't know if I should tell this man's business, because I know people that are listening know both myself and the gentleman I'm referring to. I'm not going to disclose some things because that's not fair. So I'm not going to do that. And I probably have done too much and whatever. I'm being honest. It's my truth and shit, it is the truth. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if he got a problem, he gonna have a problem. He's still gonna try and fuck me. So we have gone through a lot worser times. Like, that 14 years has not been pretty. It did not come to an end well. Oh, I'm going to tell all my business tonight. So you're going to have an opinion to me, probably a strong opinion. SP was married, got married during the 14 years that we were involved. That conversation is a whole episode in itself as to my feelings on it and how I got wrapped up in kind of not caring about the marriage situation and, you know, the bottom line of it for me, right, wrong, and different was I'm in this as a friend and we happen to have sex. And I had taken, even now, and I was kind of staying by it, I looked at the sex between the two of us almost like we were exercise partners. There's no love in it. There's no affection in it. We just know how to take care of each other and we really enjoy sex with one another. So for me, I'm like, this isn't cheating because I don't want to be with him. He doesn't want to be with me. We don't love each other. We're not selling each other pipe dreams. We exercise with each other in a safe environment, in a protected environment, and then we go our separate ways. And every so often we have conversations to kind of get, you know, some steam off, and we have phone sex every so often to help each other get off. And it really is a friendship with a lot of benefits. But for us, there is a balance because I respect that situation. I have no desire to ruin that. It's truly like my monthly exercise partner who's going to meet me at this place at this time. We're going to get our workout on and then we'll see each other in a month. It's like a thank you for your services at the end. We legit say thanks, see you next time. Like it's, there's no emotion to it. And I know a lot of people will probably have an opinion on that, but I do not attach emotion to sex. I have a lot of friends who are the exact opposite of me. They have to have emotion to have sex. And I respect that. I'm just not that girl. I look at sex as an act, as an exercise. You know, I'm exerting myself. I'm having a good time. It's like dancing, you know? Yes, it's extremely intimate. Yes, there's a whole lot of precautions you should be taking and being careful. And I make sure I exercise those and I don't put myself at unnecessary risk. I have lots of reasons to live. I'm not trying to die. So when I say a clean and protected environment where I'm being tested frequently, the people that I am engaged with and involved with are being tested frequently, we're sharing our results, I'm at that place in my life that I am comfortable asking for test results and I have no issue sharing mine. And I think that that's probably a whole nother conversation of, you know, we could have that, we should be able to have that dialogue with people we're having sex with. And if we're not, why are we fucking each other? Like, what you got to hide? Why you take your ass down there, get swabbed up just so you know, just so you're comfortable and confident, even though we're using protection, I don't have to worry about, you know, getting herpes while I'm sucking, you know, giving you oral. I need to know we good. I don't want to have to worry about, are we not good, and have to track every time I have sex and who I have sex with, so I know whose name to list when I go down to the fucking clinic. I'm not trying to be that girl. So I have no issue asking a grown ass man to, you know, give me, what's up with your test results, bro? Like, we have to get to that place. If we're not there, we need to get there. And I have no issue. So it is what it is. But yes, Mr. SP was married and that turned our situation to something very ugly because not everybody views it the way that I view it and he views it. We still maintain a friendship, not so much the sexual stuff, but yeah, I haven't seen him in months. I wish I could see him, but I haven't seen him in months. And I know that makes me sound like a bad person, and I'll own that if that's how you feel, but there is no malicious intent. This is truly a friend of mine who I've grown up with both as a young adult and sexually. We've grown up together and we've shared things with each other and that's why I had to catch myself, because I was about to share stuff that I know isn't right. And there's some deep, dark shit that I've shared with him that I would never want him to repeat. So that's where I had to pull myself back, where you have to respect each other's boundaries. He would probably be extremely aroused right now to know that I was recording a podcast to publish it out for people from around the world to listen to it. And I was talking about how great his dick is, how fine he is, how much I would do and lay and fuck and suck. And he will probably even be aroused by the fact that I'm talking about this shit. But I'm not going to go into the deep, dark crevices, because there are things that I would never want him to repeat. And I'm going to respect the boundaries. And that's the thing. You have to know the person you're engaged with and know how they would respond to things. And I may even fucking text him and tell him to listen to it and see what he has to say. Because I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say. It's an interesting situation. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about it, and I respect your feelings and opinions on it. Not saying that what we were doing was right. All I'm saying is it felt right to us. And I felt like I wasn't hurting anyone, because I wasn't trying to ruin a situation. I was not going around blabbing and trying to be messy. Nobody knew about my moves and knew about our movements and the things that we did. But other things arose at later times and it turned into a shit show. But we maintained that situation for 13 whole years without, completely under the radar and no one knowing. And I mean, when I say, because at one point he relocated, so I was driving hours to see him. Excuse me, to spend the night with him, and we would be up all night having sex, and then I'm getting up on Monday morning at like 3 a.m. to drive back home, to park in the parking lot at my job, to get a couple hours of sleep, to then go into work after having an all-night fuck marathon with him. Like, we went through years of crazy shit, of me traveling and him traveling, and, you know, seeing each other in places outside of our normal, you know, hometown area. Yeah, I don't know if our saga continues, but it was an interesting saga. I learned a lot about who I am and about kink. Yeah, I mean, he really is the bridge that got me to, you know, be exposed to kink and different types of sex. Because if it relied solely on what I was taught as a kid, bitch, I grew up in the South, and I was raised to believe that a woman conducts herself a certain way in the bedroom. So all of the stuff that I'm into, the oral, the anal, hell, even doggy style would be frowned upon. You know, no. So yeah, if I'd relied on that, I'd be boring as fuck and I'd be a prude in the bed. But, yeah, I won't say meeting because we had been friends growing up, but getting into the place where I was with SP, and learning about, you know, the anal and the oral and rough sex, you know, as a thing. He was really into this spitting thing and it was so weird. We were in the middle of having sex one night and he hauls off, and I think I was like moaning with my mouth open. He spits in my mouth and I literally like went to like start puking. I was so like, what the fuck, bro, are you doing? And he like let me know that was a thing, and he showed me the porn where he'd seen it being done, and I'm like, no, baby. He's like, no, 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 that's definitely no, and you probably should like warn me, like, that's no. So we've had some moments where it was like, okay, wait a minute, no, that's not gonna work. And then he really got into like wanting to wear women's underwear during sex, and wanting me to compliment him on how nice his ass looked and his dick looked and his balls looked in these women underwear. And then, you know, to be able to have sex with, you know, me while wearing them in front of a mirror so he could watch himself in the underwear while we're having sex. So there were moments of weirdness, but for me, shit I laugh about now, like, I still have the underwear. I looked at them not too long ago because I was like, oh my god. I remember that pair and that pair and that pair and the stories that are tied to each pair. So there were moments of just kind of crazy stuff. And the one thing that we were never able to successfully do with one another, but he taught me about, was fisting. So most people are familiar with what fisting is. There are probably a lot of people, a good bit of people that aren't familiar with what that is. I'm sorry, I need to refresh myself. A good bit of people probably don't know what fisting is. My mother didn't know what fisting was when I told her that I had engaged in it and I enjoyed it. So fisting is basically what it sounds like, a fist going into your vagina. That's it. The fist itself isn't inserted into the vagina. It's more of a fingering technique. And then you add each finger over time, and then you work your way in to get the knuckles in. And then once the knuckles get through the opening, then you can form a fist on the inside. But, damn, I'm telling all my bitch, this damn Capicola, bitch. Oh, I'm telling on myself like a motherfucker tonight. Damn. Oh, okay. So SP brought it up. We tried it several times, and it takes time, which I've learned currently. I now know that it takes a lot of time to get to that place of being able to get a fist in. Like, we're talking like 20, 30 minutes, depending on the situation. So yeah, he exposed me. And again, had I never met him and been in the situation with him, who knows if I would ever even have known what fisting was. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I look back on our situation of like, I would not be anywhere near who I am today had I not started out very young with him. Good or bad, that's the truth. So, I found out through the old man that I really enjoy fisting. And it's a multi-orgasmic situation. Literally, I laid there for a good while. I don't know. I don't even have a recollection of time. I laid there for I don't know how long. Just he was like cleaning up, taking a shower, and I'm literally just laying on the bed in complete orgasmic state. I can't even explain the orgasm that I had that night. Like, when I finished coming, I was like dehydrated and sleepy as hell. That's all I remember. So yeah, I have enjoyed fisting in the past. I'm about to tell all my business tonight, but I'm going to stop myself. We're at 41 minutes. I'm going to stop myself because shit might get a little crazy if I continue talking, but we'll save some of that other stuff for another day. So the, word of the week. And I purposely chose this word because it has reared its ugly head in my personal life, like, a lot in the last couple of days. So I've mentioned this fetish-based website, and I'm not at a place yet. I don't know if I'm okay to share their website information. I should probably do some research on that. But, I shared the BDSM thing. Fuck it. I'm on a fetish-based website, and it's called FetLife.com. And that is FETLIFE.com. It's basically social media for kinky people. That's the short answer. And, you know, you post pictures, you interact with other people, you know, you have to identify yourself as, you know, dom, sub, a kinkster, a fetishist, an unknown, a slave. Like, there's tons of identifiers. And I think that, you know, if you truly think that you're into the kink scene, I would say just kind of create a profile. You don't even have to put pictures on there if you don't want to, and just kind of browse, and you would be amazed to see what a lot of people are into, like a lot of people. And for me, that's what FetLife has exposed me to, that there are really a lot of people that, you know, have these kinky desires, and it's okay. You know, like, you can be an average good person and be kinky as hell in the bedroom, and it's okay because it's specific to the bedroom. Just because I'm kinky and naughty and crazy and in your mind possibly nasty in the bedroom doesn't mean I'm that way in my real life. Like, no, I can be a good, genuine person 9 to 5, and I just happen to like to get my ass beat from 9 to midnight, you know? So, yeah. All right, so look at me getting off track again. The word of the week is going to be cuckold. And I'm probably saying this shit wrong. Cuckold. C-U-C-K-O-L-D. Cuckold, I think. And the definition per Urban Dictionary is a man who willingly encourages his wife to sleep with other people because it brings him pleasure. Cuckolds exist on a spectrum between two extremes. On one end is the masochistic cuckold, who enjoys humiliation, degradation, and other demeaning activities at the hands of his wife and her lover. The alpha cuckold lies at the opposite end of the spectrum and does not enjoy any form of humiliation and often has a direct say in who his wife sleeps with and when. And I said that that was relevant because someone reached out to me on FetLife, and it is a cuckold of a husband and wife, and they would be considered the masochistic cuckold because, you know, she humiliates him and demeans him and talks down to him, and, you know, the other dicks that she's engaged with or involved with or whatever, you know, they do things to him as well. From my exposure to what I've seen, looks like, you know, maybe he's having anal sex with these guys who also have sex with his wife. It's an interesting dynamic. Like, this guy even has a shit cuckold tattooed across his groin. Like, it's a lot. It is a whole lot. And I have recently been reached out to as of, like, today. Was that today? Yeah, that was today or yesterday. Because I didn't reply, so I can't even remember when it was. But a girl reached out to me wanting me to be involved in her cuckold situation, wanting me to dominate her spouse. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's me. Like, as I said before, I'm not really into dominating men. I will dominate a woman all day long, but it doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't turn me on or arouse me. And if it doesn't turn me on or arouse me, I'm not going to do it. But that just doesn't do anything for me. So it's like, why would I agree to, you know, humiliating and degrading your husband, and it's not going to do anything for me. It's not going to turn me on. The fuck? Like, no. And then, you know, there are women out there that want to, like, kind of recruit you if you even give off the vibe that you're into dominating. And it's just like, bro, I am not interested in coming to your, you know, crash courses on domination and, you know, being a cam girl and any of that shit. Like, I just want to live the regular, degular, schmegular kink life. I do what I want, when I want, how I want, where I want, and I don't answer to anybody about it. And I'm protecting myself, having a good time with consenting adults, and I don't have to answer to anybody about any of that. So that's it for, what did we talk about today? We talked about friends with benefits and body counts, because nobody really gives a shit about fucking body counts. I even pulled up a forum on Reddit. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. It shouldn't matter. As long as everybody's clean and we're good, like, it don't matter if a dude has fucked a million girls. Nobody cares. But if a female fucked a million guys, oh, hell no. Like, she's a problem. Get the fuck out of here. Fucking bitch-ass double standard. Just go. Nobody cares. Fuck who you want. Live your life. Have a good goddamn time. Protect yourself. And just live grand. And do your Kegels, bitch. Just do your fucking Kegels and you'll be fine, girls. All right, so don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Kink Unashamed. And any questions, comments, concerns, topics that you want to throw up. That just sounded gross. Topics that you want to, like, throw out there for us to potentially talk about. Woo. shoot me an email at kinkunashamed@gmail.com. So again, thank you all for watching. I appreciate you. The listens are, like, climbing like crazy. So I apparently am not scaring people or terrifying you. You're still listening, which is awesome. Tell a friend, tell some more friends, tell all the friends. If they're into this type of conversation and foolishness and bullshit, please share. I thank you all. Please follow. Give me some feedback, good, bad, whatever. I'm here to take it. I really am structuring a giveaway. I've found a few other, like, little fun things I want to include. So I'm super excited. I'm sorry if the mic made a funny noise because I just hit it being extra. so yeah, thank y'all. Got big shit planned. And yeah, until next time, stay kinky. Yeah, bye.